Our celebration today would have been blessed by the presence of Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, Archbishop of Westminster, who was to have preached the sermon, but he is unwell, and I am his unworthy substitute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So we celebrate today the canonization of St. Oscar Romero, bishop and martyr, that took place in Rome on the 14th of October this year. Oscar Romero has been venerated as a martyr here at Westminster Abbey for the last 20 years, since when his statue was added to the west front of the Abbey as one of 10 20th century martyrs from around the world and from all traditions of Christianity. Oscar Romero, Archbishop of San Salvador, was shot dead on the 24th of March, 1980, by a government hitman as he celebrated Mass at the altar of the hospital chapel in his sea city. The next day, his martyrdom was acknowledged here in England by Robert Runcie, Archbishop of Canterbury, at his enthronement in Canterbury Cathedral. He interrupted the solemn liturgy to pray for Oscar Romero at the place of martyrdom in 1170 of his predecessor, St. Thomas Becket. On the day of Oscar Romero's canonization in Rome last month, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, led a delegation of 10 Anglican bishops. And Archbishop Justin Welby wrote to Pope Francis saying of Oscar Romero, "As a champion of peace and justice, he stood up against oppression and was consistently on the side of the poor, the underprivileged, and the marginalized. In this, he emphasized and demonstrated the love of Christ himself. Oscar Romero is held in great esteem in the Church of England. May his example of courage and commitment be a model for us all." So, for those unfamiliar with the story, what did Romero face in that small Central American country of 6 million people named after our beloved Savior? And how did he face up to it? The history of instability in El Salvador and in the Central American republics from the time of their independence from Spain in 1821 is too complex to recount in this brief moment. But in 1979, on the 15th of October, a revolutionary government junta, a military dictatorship, took power and ruled El Salvador for 2.5 years. The purpose of this new junta was to put an end to a revolutionary movement which was already making an impact on the country. The unrest at this time was a replication of an uprising by peasant farmers in 1931, which was crushed then by the Salvadoran military and resulted in the deaths of 30,000 people. The 1979 dictatorship, although short-lived and followed by others, was characterized by torture, executions, and unexplained disappearances, indeed, by mass murder. Such was the context in which Oscar Romero was the Archbishop of the capital city. But what sort of man was he? He was in his 60s as Archbishop, having been born in 1917. Having trained for the priesthood and been ordained in Rome, Romero was a parish priest in his home country and then became, in 1966, Secretary of the Bishops' Conference in El Salvador. He was regarded as a conservative, editing a diocesan newspaper that proclaimed the traditional teaching of the Church. In 1970, he was ordained an auxiliary bishop for the Diocese of San Salvador, and in 1974 became bishop of a poor rural diocese. 3 years later, he was Archbishop of San Salvador. Within 3 weeks of his inauguration as Archbishop, a personal friend of his, a Jesuit priest, Rutilio Grande, who'd been creating self-reliance groups amongst the poor, was assassinated with two companions. The following Sunday, Romero allowed only one mass in the whole diocese at the cathedral, where he spoke out against the murders. He later said, "When I looked at Rutilio lying there dead, I thought, if they have killed him for doing what he did, then I too have to walk the same path." So his death had a profound impact on the Archbishop, who now began to speak out against poverty, social injustice, assassinations, and torture in a fresh way. His powerful weekly sermons were broadcast on the radio. He became known internationally for his work. For example, he received a doctorate from a Belgian university. And 116 British parliamentarians nominated Archbishop Romero for the 1978 Nobel Peace Prize. And in December 1978, the British Parliamentary Human Rights Group sent a delegation to El Salvador, made up of the crossbench peer Lord Chitness, Conservative MP Peter Bottomley here today, Labour MP Dennis Cavanan, with Julian Finokoski, also here, of course, later director of CAFOD and now chair of the Archbishop Romero Trust. During the visit, they met with Archbishop Romero and attended his Sunday Mass. On the Feast of the Transfiguration, the 6th of August 1979, Archbishop Romero issued his fourth pastoral letter on the Church's mission in the national crisis. He addressed the question whether the Church should be seeking, was indeed seeking, to exercise political power in proclaiming the Gospel's preferential option for the poor. He wrote, "The Church wants to offer no other contribution than that of the Gospel. It has no purely political contribution to make, nor any merely human skill to offer. Quite truthfully, the Church is interested only in offering the country the light of the Gospel for the full salvation and betterment of men and women, a salvation that also involves the structures within which Salvadorans live. But his call to the Church to remain faithful, to enable all Christians to live out their mission truly, became ever more impassioned." His final sermon, extracts from which you just heard set to music by Sir James Macmillan, included these powerful words: "I'd like to make a special appeal to the men of the army. Brothers, you come from our own people. You are killing your own brothers. The Church, the defender of the rights of God, of the law of God, of human dignity, of the person, cannot remain silent before such an abomination. In the name of God, in the name of this suffering people, whose cries rise to heaven more loudly each day, I implore you, I beg you, I order you in the name of God, stop the repression." St. Oscar Romero's martyrdom in 1980 didn't bring to an end the repression and violence in his city and country. 10 years later, more than 1 million people had been displaced from their homes. Death squad killings and disappearances remained steady throughout 1991, as well as torture, false imprisonment, and attacks on civilians by the army and security forces. Opposition politicians, members of church and grassroots organizations representing peasants, women, and repatriated refugees suffered constant death threats, arrests, surveillance, and break-ins. But eventually, by April 1991, negotiations resumed, resulting in a truce that successfully concluded in January 1992, bringing about the war's end. So the suffering went on long after the martyrdom of the Archbishop. How then should we assess not the political value of his death, but the value for the Church and for the Kingdom of God of his resistance, his intransigence, his martyrdom? Tertullian, a Carthaginian Christian convert, whose Latin writings round about the year AD 200 survive in large numbers, reflecting on the persecution of Christians by the Roman Empire, described the blood of the martyrs as the seed of the Church. Rome failed to eradicate the Church. Rather, the Church flourished under persecution. The sight of people strong in the faith, willing to go to their death rather than deny the Lord, has always been influential for good. The martyrdom of St. Oscar Romero was a wicked political act against a man of profound faith and Christian commitment. In the end, it would prove worthless politically, but fruitful spiritually. The people of El Salvador live now in relative peace, if not in great comfort. Life will always be a struggle. But the faith of the Church has been confirmed, and Christians throughout the world have been encouraged by the witness and by the death of St. Oscar Romero, for whom today we profoundly give thanks to Almighty God. Amen.